This is In the News for March 10th, 2006. I'm Scott Bergwin with KSOW-LP in Cottage Grove, Oregon. First up today, Alaska oil spill exposes gentle drilling problems. It's written by the News Standard staff at newstandardnews.net. A disastrous crude oil spill on Alaska's North Slope over the weekend has environmental groups renewing calls to stop the expansion of oil exploitation in the state. The spill was first noticed last Thursday by an employee of British Petroleum. Workers did not find the source of the spill until early Sunday morning, but the amount released into the Alaskan wilderness is unknown. Estimates are expected from the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation today. That was today, the 9th, yesterday, Thursday. So far, cleanup crews working around the clock have collected over 58,000 gallons of spilled oil and oil-tainted water, according to the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation. The agency also reported that the leak started at a caribou crossing and that the affected area is about 2 acres of tundra hundreds of miles north of Anchorage and includes the edge of a frozen over lake. British Petroleum operates the site where the leak spouted, a station at Prudhoe Bay on Alaska's North Slope that pumps oil from the surrounding area into the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline, which carries a toxic fossil fuel across about 800 miles of the state. BP's Prudhoe Bay operations have a leaky history. In 2003, the Anchorage Daily News reported on a leak discovered by BP workers that had possibly gone undetected for months, expelling around 6,000 gallons of oil and oily water into the environment. In June 2002, the Alaska Department of Environmental Quality had fined BP $150,000 for failing to install a leak detection system on its crude oil transmission pipelines in the Prudhoe Bay area, according to news reports from that time. In 2001, BP spilled thousands of gallons of oil into a freshwater lake. According to the Anchorage Daily News, ADEC, that's the Alaska Department of Environmental Quality, said that leak may have continued for days before detection by workers. In response to the latest spill, the environmental advocacy group Defenders of Wildlife said the rupture shows the devastation drilling in wildlife areas can cause. They said the spill illustrates that improved technologies for drilling do nothing to prevent pipeline ruptures down the line. In recent years, supporters of expanding drilling in the Alaskan wilderness have said, quote, environmentally gentle, end quote, extraction and transportation technologies make oil drilling less invasive. According to the pro-drilling association Arctic Power, better drills, new well spacing, and ice roads have minimal impact on the environment around a drill site. The concept of so-called gentle drilling is key to provisions under congressional consideration that would permit oil leases in the Arctic National Wildlife Reserve. Tuesday, three of the nation's largest environmental groups expressly refuted the concept, calling the spill, quote, an unfortunate reminder of just how gentle oil drilling operations could be if allowed on the Arctic Refuge's coastal plain, end quote. There's more on this at the News Standard at newsstandardnews.net. Next up, from The Guardian in the United Kingdom, written by Tom Phillips in Rio de Janeiro, rural rights activists wreck Brazilian plantation. A group of about 2,000 rural activists invaded a eucalyptus plantation in southern Brazil this week, causing millions of pounds of damage to one of the country's biggest paper producers. The protesters, linked to Brazil's Landless Workers Movement, or MST, ransacked the grounds of Aracruz Cellulose in the early hours of Wednesday, tearing up bulbs and destroying 15 years of genetic research, according to the company. Yesterday, as Brazilian authorities condemned the attacks as quote-unquote vandalism and banditry, those responsible said they were opening up a new front in the fight for justice in rural areas and against multinational agricultural businesses. Evercrude, Nina Tonin, a MST representative who participated in the action, told The Guardian, quote, during Lula's, that's President, Brazilian President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva, during his government, a vast amount of public resources have continued to be passed to transnational companies like Aracruz, which received almost 30% of that which all Brazil's presidents received in the whole of last year. We are against this model of agriculture that Brazil has adopted since the early 1990s, end quote. The protest in the town of Barra do Ribeiro was timed to coincide with an international conference on land reform. Ms. Tonin also said, quote, Lula created great expectations in terms of land reform, but in reality, the number of settled families has been extremely low and nothing like what was promised by the government, end quote. Rural activists say multinational farming groups threaten rural workers as much as Brazil's traditional landowners. Aracruz is one of the world's biggest producers of eucalyptus pulp, which is used in the production of paper. It owns about 50,000 hectares, or 125,000 acres, of land across Brazil, with the MST's traditional Abril Vomero, Red April season of land occupations approaching, activists are promising a wave of protests against such groups. Ms. Tonin said, quote, the realization of land reform isn't just dependent on the government. It is up to the actions of the peasant movements also, which is why, from now onwards, the tendency is for us to pressure the government more forcefully, end quote. Miguel Roseto, the Minister for Land Reform, criticized the protesters. He said, quote, material that was being made to improve people's lives was completely destroyed, end quote. Meanwhile, a poll on Brazil's biggest television channel showed that 56% of respondents believe such actions damage the fight for land reform. This is at The Guardian of the United Kingdom at www.guardian.co.uk. And finally today, from the latest issue of High Country News, dated March 6, 2006, from their hotline section, written by April Reese, out of New Mexico, energy company stakes out wildlife refuge. Iridescent dragonflies, shimmering wetlands, and the many imperiled species that call a southeastern New Mexico wildlife refuge home may soon have a new neighbor, gas wells. Yates Petroleum Company, based in Artesia, New Mexico, told U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service officials last month it plans to drill two wells in Bitter Lake National Wildlife Refuge, one of them just a quarter mile from the visitor center. The company has yet to file for the required permits, but its survey has staked out the locations of wells and it is hoping to drill under leases issued by the state, which retained the mineral rights when the land became a federal refuge. Those plans concern refuge managers and Wildlife Service biologists who wonder if the refuge's rare species, which include two diminutive snails listed under the Endangered Species Act and several state-protected fish, can survive in springs that could be contaminated by brine and other drilling byproducts. Paul Tashijian, a hydrologist with Wildlife Service's Water Resources Office in Albuquerque, said, quote, they're proposing to drill through the aquifer that is feeding those springs, end quote. Yates must receive permits from New Mexico's Oil and Gas Conservation Division before it can drill, and from the Fish and Wildlife Service to build roads and drill pads. Both agencies say that if they give the project the go-ahead, they will attach stipulations to protect the springs. Yates has a long history with Bitter Lake. In 1982, the company attracted national attention and a federal citation for trespassing after it erected a drill rig within the refuge without federal permits. Yates officials did not return calls for this story. Again, that's written by April Reese of High Country News at hcn.org. This has been In the News for March 10th, 2006. I'm Scott Berguin with KSOWLP in Cottage Grove, Oregon. We'll talk to you next time.